Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hey guys, welcome to a new episode of
Real Wives in Radio.
If you notice, that is not Tanya's voice. Tanya is still on maternity leave. I'm Dorothy Tran, and that voice you're hearing is my best friend, Mal Hall.
What's up, everybody? I'm Mal Hall. I'm a comedian, definitely not a wife. I'm a man.
Your husband? Well, you will be a husband sooner or later.
Future husband.
Yeah. There you go. It still counts. It still counts. So Mel's going to be joining me today. We're going to talk to him about being a comedian at nighttime and then being a stay-at-home dad during the day and just get into some gender role reversals, how that has affected him, his perception on life, and him and his baby boy. But before we get to all of that, I want to bring something back that we haven't done in a minute.
We haven't done this in a minute. This is our first time, but we haven't done this in such a long time.
Well, Tanya and I haven't done it in a minute, but it's called the pop-off.
A lot of production on this podcast.
I know. We did have, you know, I should find it. I don't know where it is. We haven't done it in a while, but we used to have that imaging piece. Anyways, this is where we bring you the three biggest pop culture stories from the week, and we just break them down. So let's start with the Oscars being so white.
Whoa.
The Oscar nominations just came out again, and last year they kind of made up for it in the previous years where they didn't nominate any people of color, any minorities. No women were nominated
right.
in the big, like, director, screenplay, that type of deal. And this year, it kind of happened again. There are no women who have been nominated for Best Director, which is crazy. The only person... or the only two people who aren't white that are nominated for Best Actor and Actress, Supporting Actor, Supporting Actress, is Antonio Banderas. He's nominated for Best Actor. And Cynthia Erivo is nominated as Best Actress for Harriet. Nobody else. No other minorities.
What minorities should have been up for...
People are saying Jennifer Lopez has gotten snubbed for her role in Hustlers.
Okay.
She's been nominated for a Golden Globe, Critics' Choice Award for Best Supporting Actress in that. A lot of people are saying, why hasn't Lupita Nyong'o been nominated or recognized for her work in Us? Because she played two different characters, very, very excellent when she was doing that. But Scarlett Johansson, on the other hand, is nominated for two Oscars, one for Best Supporting Actress and Best Actress for two different movies. So there's a bit of an imbalance there.
Right. I mean, this is just one of those things where it's like, I mean, it's going to take a while for, it takes a while for change to happen. And so, you know, the Academy has sort of nominated just white people. It's been, you know, white people for as long as they've been having these awards, you know, like there was a time where they didn't allow black actors, but the white people put on blackface and played the role of
right.
the black people, like, and of the Asian people. It's just like one of those things where it slowly, I feel like, has to, the more and more we voice our displeasure with it,
yeah,
like the you know, like the more they'll be forced to change.
Yeah,
but it's up to people to not watch the show.
Yeah, you're right about that. I mean, like Awkwafina won that Golden Globe for Best Actress for her role in the movie The Farewell, which was on all Asian casts as well. She didn't get one nomination. That movie got zero love in the Oscars.
Oh, wow.
So it's yeah, things have
to
change.
I don't watch the Oscars, though. I don't understand people that have Oscar parties. This is like, I mean... it's like it's like having a talent show, award show for people
yeah.
that you don't know,
yeah.
but you dress up and take it serious. It's like, why do you care who wins? Like, like make-believe. Like, that's all they are. There's a bunch of adults that are playing make-believe, and we decide that they're cool.
Yeah, so let me ask you this. Of the movies that have been nominated for Best Picture, I'm going to name them off to you. You tell me if you know any of these movies or if you've seen them, okay?
Okay.
Best Picture, Ford versus Ferrari.
I've seen the previews.
Okay, The Irishman.
I've also watched a preview on Netflix.
Yeah. Oh, the movie's so long, by the way. I started to try to watch it.
Yeah, who has 4 hours of life to give to a movie, man? I don't like watching movies in two pieces either. And this thing is, that's why I haven't seen Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, because the movie is 3.5 hours long. It's like, I don't have the time.
The Irishman, I've been watching like little bits every night before I go to bed. It's been 5 days and I'm not even halfway through the movie.
Because every time you pick it up, you have to be like, okay, rewind 10 minutes so I can get the flow of like what was happening.
Exactly.
It's like, what do you do?
Jojo Rabbit is up for Best Picture as well.
Don't know what that is.
That one's Taika Waititi, the New Zealand director. Mm-hmm. Supposed to be really funny.
Yeah.
That's on my list to watch. The Joker?
Nope. Just saw the previews.
Little Women?
Nope.
Marriage Story?
My mom watched it and she said it was trash.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Mary Hall said it was trash.
Yeah, that's on Netflix, right?
Yeah.
She watched it.
Okay.
She said, do not watch that movie.
Oh, that's
it's
up for
trash.
That's up for a bunch of nominations. That's what Scarlett Johansson is nominated for Best Actress for.
Yeah.
1917.
No, it looks like, I haven't seen the movie. It just looks like the guy's running a lot from the preview.
Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, we mentioned, and then Parasite. It's a Korean movie.
Oh, yeah, I don't even know what that is.
Yeah, all I know is that it's a Korean movie.
Okay.
So, all right, Oscar so white it is.
Yeah.
Another big story that happened over the past week was the fact that Prince Harry and Meghan Markle broke up with the royal family.
I did hear about this. I didn't know you could break up with your family.
I didn't know that either.
I thought you were just stuck with them.
Yeah, they shocked the world and even the royal family, the queen herself, when they gave her a 10-minute notice. They said, hey, we're going to put this press release out in 10 minutes, do with it what you want.
Yo, we're not part of we're leaving the family in 10 minutes.
Yeah.
Just, you know what I mean? Enjoy
bold.
All the memories of us being in this family, because the memories going forward are going to be us not in this family.
Right? Like, that is so bold.
What, like, why? What's like the...
So, they say they want to split their time between North America, which everybody believes they're going to live in Canada, and the UK. Just to raise their family, to stay out of the spotlight. She's been treated super rough
in
the British
tabloids.
She's American. She's born and raised in LA, actually.
Oh.
Meghan Markle.
Oh, but she's like...
But she's got ties there. She filmed her show Suits out in Vancouver a lot, in Toronto, I believe. And I think they just like the privacy that they can get there. They want to raise their son normal.
Yeah.
And it's not like Prince Harry's going to be king anyway, so...
Right. He's like eighth or ninth in line for the throne, I think, behind like a bunch of people. I don't know much about this. All I know is that... I've heard that she's getting a lot of flack just for being black, basically.
Yeah.
Like, a lot of people, like the royal family, this is another white thing, sorry white listeners, but it's like, you know, that family they've been white for hundreds of years.
Right.
I mean, the queen looks like she's been around for 200 of those years, and she's been white the whole time.
She's 93 years old, dude. She's old.
She's
almost a century.
And so, I mean, I get it. You know, no one wants to wake up every morning and open up the paper or turn on the TV or the radio and hear something negative about yourself when... You know, you didn't ask for that. You just love this dude. And so you guys are together. It's, you know, so I get it.
There was a BuzzFeed article where it was like 20 different headlines where the British press was praising Kate Middleton for doing something.
They love her.
They love her. And then the exact same thing that she was doing, Meghan Markle would do, and they would just dog her out on it.
For real.
Yeah. Like, it was pretty bad.
Look at Kate Middleton feeding these starving children. And then the same picture of Meghan Markle. Look at Meghan Markle eating this food in front of starving children.
Like, so rude, right? So rude.
That's wild.
I know, but I say good for them.
Good for them, man.
Good for Meghan Markle and Prince Harry.
I mean, they have money. They could fly back for whatever important royal parties they have and, you know, be a part of it from afar. They don't have to.
Yeah, because that's the other thing, is that they're going to become financially independent from the royal family. So they're not taking any taxpayer money or anything like that.
Yeah. Awesome.
Yeah.
Good for them.
It is time for Harvey Weinstein to face the music.
Uh-oh.
The jury selection has started in his trial. We all know what a sexual predator he has been accused of doing, which, you know, I tend to believe the women.
Yeah.
But he's having his trial selection happening in New York right now. And then in light of that, he's also been charged with more rapes, more crimes in L.A. So it's happening.
Good.
Yeah.
Good.
I agree. And the thing that I have a problem with this, though, is have you noticed, if you've seen Harvey Weinstein lately, they're making him look like a weak little old man because he had back surgery, so he's in a walker. Like, I think they're trying to get people to sympathize, like, oh, this, look at this old man. That can't possibly be happening.
Yeah, there's a very, very small select group of people that would sympathize with a monster like that.
Right?
Like, if you sympathize with Harvey Weinstein, you need to take a long look in the mirror and then punch yourself in the face after, because you're a terrible person.
But what gets me is that people, R. Kelly's fans, are still sympathizing with him.
Well, I mean, yeah, I don't, the R. Kelly thing, that's a weird culture thing, I feel like. You know what I mean? It's like black people, unfortunately, just feel like they have to wrap their arms around whoever they're, like, the black celebrities are, regardless of what they do. That's why there's people that still shout from the rooftops that Bill Cosby is innocent, just because they feel like they have to ride for that. And it's right. That's sad to me.
It's very sad. And speaking of R. Kelly, one of his girlfriends has finally escaped that whole crazy mess that it is. Her name is Azriel Clary. If you watch Surviving R. Kelly, the documentary, her parents were featured strongly in it. They were trying to get her home, trying to get her out. R. Kelly got to her when she was young and pretty much isolated her from her family, what a lot of sexual predators do.
Right.
And she and his other girlfriends, Joycelyn Savage, got into a huge fight. It was on Instagram Live. Joycelyn has been charged with assault, and Azriel is shouting, hey, you know, I'm going to charge you. I'm going to tell the cops that you had sex with me when I was a minor, because R. Kelly would make them have threesomes.
Right.
So his day is coming too.
Yeah, that's, I mean, I don't understand just like how R. Kelly, that's another one that, like, a part of me wants to feel sorry for him, because he was probably abused as a child, and you know, now he's perpetuating that same sort of evil and violence and just, you know, way of life on these poor girls. But dude, I can't. You can't. He's a monster, and he deserves what's coming to him.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree with you on that. He has a trial coming up on April 27th in Chicago, and then his federal trial is coming up in May 18th. R. Kelly has been locked up, so I don't think he'll be getting out anytime soon.
That's good for all of your young daughters out there.
Right? And that wraps up your pop-off.
The pop off.
Yeah. I'm going to hire you just to do that now. But let's talk about you. If you guys don't know, Mal has been one of my best friends for over
a decade.
Over a decade, yeah. Mal, why don't you tell everybody how we became friends?
I don't know exactly how we became friends. I know that we met each other in radio, interning at Channel 933. I think I was 19 or 20, and you were...
I was 19.
You were 19, and we both interned for like a minute together, and then they upgraded you to promotions lead, which was like a bad idea.
No, it wasn't!
It was terrible. They did not think that through, to give a 19-year-old Dorothy Tran authority over interns that were older than her.
Hey,
I mean,
I made sure that I ran my events like a boss. All right.
Sure you did. But I think that's where our friendship began. And, you know, it endured the ups and downs and the long, windy road that friendship is. And, you know, fast forward to whatever, 2 years ago. How long have you been married?
Yeah, I think so.
2 years ago, I'm wearing a pink suit and standing on the girl's side with all of your sisters. So,
that,
I mean, we're tight.
Right. And now we have babies at the same time.
At the same time. Not together, which is confused sometimes with people in this building.
I know. That was so embarrassing.
Somebody thought that Dorothy and I had a baby together when we have two separate babies.
Yeah. But anyway, so Kalino is 2 months older than Buck. Kalino is 7 months going on 8, right?
Yeah. That's yeah, he'll crazy. Be 8 months on the 1st.
Can you believe how fast the time has flown by with our babies?
No, you can't. And every parent will tell you that. Like, it goes by so fast, and it's one of these things where it's impossible for you to understand exactly what that means until you're in the situation. Like, I feel like he was born a couple of months ago,
mm-hmm.
and fast forward, like, you know, now he's crawling, he's standing up on things. The dude has 6 teeth and a mustache, so it's like...
Let's be real, he was born with a mustache, Mel.
He was born with a mustache.
That is your son.
But yeah, it's wild, man, that we both have kids and that they're growing up so fast, and I can't, you know, wait, which it'll be here tomorrow when they're running around, like, getting into trouble together.
I think for the first time, kind of acknowledged and recognized each other the other night at your house when they were, Kalino was crawling around and Buck was on tummy time,
mm-hmm.
and Kalino went to go and kind of reach for Buck, and then Buck was like talking to him, babbling, baby talking, and I was like, oh my God, this is the sweetest thing.
Started crying.
I know.
Yeah, it is crazy because they, around like 5 months, they start to recognize that little kids are different from the adults.
Right.
And I feel like they're drawn to the other little kids, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, so, it's funny to see.
Yeah, it definitely is. And I mean, during the day, you are the stay-at-home parent. You're the stay-at-home dad.
Yeah.
How has that affected you guys in your relationship? Do you think it has a lot? Because generally, people think of a stay-at-home parent as being the stay-at-home mom.
Right.
You know?
It hasn't affected our relationship at all, in my opinion. I think we're lucky that I work at night because the transition has been smooth for us. Like, Carlene works a 9-to-5, and we haven't had to even think about childcare because, like, I'm gonna be home with him. So,
right.
Like, number one, we're saving a ton of money. Number two, I get to spend all this quality time with him and watch him as he you know, grows and develops. And
that's him talking right now.
He's making a funny noise. it's been great. I definitely have respect for, like, single parents that have multiple kids, you know, because my job is, you know, relatively easy, but it is difficult.
Yeah.
It's, you know.
That's what I was going to ask. Like, it's super fun to be able to bond and have that time with your son. But even when I was on maternity leave and I was at home with Buck, like, all day, it wears on you a little bit, you know? Like, is it tough for you to be a stay-at-home dad?
I mean, yes. I mean, it's hard. The thing that's hard is finding time to do the stuff that I would normally do in the day, which is, you know, research things for jokes, write emails, like, edit videos, just like all of my personal selfish stuff. I sort of have to, like, find the time when he's napping or what I've been doing, which is, like, create a to-do list. I'm getting better at doing to-do lists. And then when Carlene comes home from work and we, you know, finish dinner and put him down, like, my time to work is really from, like, 7:30 until whenever I finish. Like, last night, 7:30 until, like, 2:15, and then I go to sleep, and then I'm up at whatever, 8:30, whenever Carlene leaves for work. Then I'm back on the clock with him.
Yeah.
And I try to catch up on sleep when he's sleeping, but because that's, like, the number one piece of advice that every parent will tell you. Sleep when the baby sleeps, and that's the hardest thing for you to do.
Right. You have to force yourself to do it.
You have to force yourself. I've been trying to be better at that, but, you know, you make it work.
Thanks for listening to the 80s through today on KIXI 96.5. When you're ready to get your country on, KSON is putting you on the road to Stagecoach 8 times every weekday. Thanks to your San Diego County Toyota dealers and Cox Communications. Sign up at KSON.com.
A lot of the times, I mean, I've seen stay-at-home dads struggle with being that role. It's, you know, the gender role reversal.
Yeah.
Is that something you struggle with?
You mean, like, feeling emasculated?
Yeah.
No. I mean, I wore a pink suit at your wedding. Like, I don't, yeah. I'm like, I'm a different, I think you would agree, like, I'm a different kind of dude. Like, I love all kinds of guy stuff, but I'm also just, like, raised by a single mom. I have a ton of girlfriends. Like, I don't see a clear black and white line with, like, the gender roles. I think when you're a parent, like, you're...
Kalino okay. agrees with you.
Can you hear him on the
yeah,
mic?
Yeah.
I think when you're a parent, like, as a team, you have one job, which is, like, keep your kids safe and happy and loved. And so there's no, like, gender role for that.
Yeah.
It's a very like old timey thing to say, which is like the man goes out and makes some money, and then the right. woman comes home, like stays at home and takes care of the kids, like,
and cooks and cleans.
Right. Yeah, it's 2020. You know, stuff is different. You know, women are allowed to vote and speak their minds now. Also, men are allowed to go get mani pedis and still be straight if they want. You know what I mean?
It's totally.
I don't feel emasculated at all. I feel lucky because I get to spend more time with my son than most parents get to
right.
nowadays. Because nowadays, you know, both parents have to work. Normally, both parents have a day job. So they're dropping their kid off in the morning, going to work for eight, nine hours.
Mm-hmm.
And you get to see your kid for, what, from 6 until they go to bed, 7:38, two
yeah.
hours, and then 2 hours in the morning maybe, and then just the weekends. You're
right.
basically divorced from your kid. It's like...
Which sucks.
Yeah.
It's hard.
So I feel lucky.
Know?
I don't feel any... Mm-mm.
What advice would you give to other single parents? Or stay-at-home parents, I should say.
Enjoy it. Use that time. I would say use the time to, like, make that time at home with your kid... like count for you. Like, it's been great for me because before Kalino, I would just sit at my computer and stare at the computer and work all day.
Right.
Now that I have him, it's like I feel a responsibility to take him out so he can see things and learn, because, you know, they're visual learners at this point. And so it's like I'll go on walks, go to the zoo, like meet up with other stay-at-home parents, just me and the moms, you know what I mean? Go to the
yeah.
park, go to the park.
With your yoga pants.
Yeah. We get our yoga pants and our lattes, and we just go on walks and have talks, you know, spill the tea. And enjoy the time, because most people don't get to do stuff in the day. Like,
yeah.
I get to run errands in the daytime that most people wish they could. Like, have you seen Costco in the middle of the day on a Tuesday?
Dude.
It's empty, dude.
It's you and old people, dude.
Yeah,
it's you and
just,
the queen, you know, like 93-year-old
exactly.
people.
Exactly. It's just you and old people are trying to get exercise.
Right.
Yeah, like all that stuff I get to do, and it's all new, fun, and exciting for him. So it's, yeah, I would say enjoy the time and, like, maximize it.
Yeah, because it is hard. I've seen stay-at-home dads struggle with that to the point where it's almost like they're depressed, and it
right.
sucks because it doesn't do anything for them, and their child's not benefiting from it.
Yeah,
you know?
I'm like I said, it's a cultural thing, and it's a very sort of old school thing. Like, I went on a walk earlier this week, and we met some couples in our birthing class. So our babies are like a month apart, and so we went on a walk. It was me and this other family, the husband and the wife, and the husband is from Africa. And he said, like, this is such culture shock for him, being a dad that's involved.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Because I don't know when most dads think their job starts, but, like, I don't know. I think it starts, you know, at the beginning, the moment
the baby comes out.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
Before the baby comes out, you're doing
right.
all the same prep, you know? But he said culturally in Africa, like, they do it... In whatever country he's from, they do it like raising your baby is in 7-year stages. So from 0 until
really?
7, yeah, from 0 until 7, the man has nothing to do with the baby. He said, from 0 to 7, that's none of my business.
Well, like, he doesn't feed the baby, he doesn't change the diapers,
no,
he doesn't put the baby to sleep.
Sees the baby when he wants to, but outside of that, it's like the school of the mother from 0 until 7. The mom gives all the nourishing, all the teaching, and then from 7 until 14, it's the street school, which is like when the kid's in school, whatever he learns, he
mm-hmm,
brings home
mm-hmm.
and asks his mom, I heard this, is this true? And then the mom helps with that. And then from 14 until 21, that's when
dad
steps in, and that's dad school, where he teaches the kid everything that he knows. And then from 21 to 28, that's like, I guess, like you learn on your own. And then also as a dad, that's when he's learning from the elders. And then from, you know, 28 to 35 is when he's now giving, learning elder knowledge and then passing that to his family. It's like a very weird thing. But
that's,
he said,
so crazy.
Yeah, he said if the people in his country could see him now.
Changing diapers. Like, and being a present parent and being active in raising the child.
He has to change diapers. Yeah. He has to do feedings in the middle of the night. This is all stuff where in his culture, he's like, this is not the man's job.
It's a culture shock.
And I know a lot of guys in America, American men, that are like, oh, you change diapers? Like,
Yeah, damn right. You better be changing diapers, right?
You know what I mean? It's not the hardest thing in the world, and it's like, I don't know.
Have you ever gotten any pushback from I guess, people? Like, do they ever talk crap to you about being a stay-at-home dad?
No. Good. I think that's a young, ignorant thing. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, it's a young dude.
Yeah.
That doesn't know would probably say something like that, like, oh, you never catch me changing a diaper. Okay.
Right.
And like, I'm 35 now. So now I'm just surrounded by, you know, woke ass people. You know? No, I'm just surrounded by adults that know what it is. You know what I mean? And I have, like, especially in my job, like my buddy Eric Rivera, he's a very funny comedian. He has two boys and he's a stay-at-home dad and his wife works, you know? So I have a support group there that I lean on him for advice and stuff.
Right. Now, Mal, you were raised by your mom, a single parent. Your parents got divorced when you were pretty young and your dad hasn't really been present for most of your life.
Right.
How has that affected you as a dad, as a father?
I don't know yet. You know what I mean? That's to be determined. I think that I know I speak for a lot of guys that were raised by just their mom. It puts it instills just responsibility to want to be better and not, you know, have our kids be raised the same way. Like, I'm so stoked to be around and be involved and I can't imagine not.
Mm-hmm.
And so I had a pretty good example of what not to do. And so I'm just pretty committed to being opposite of him. And then also just the least crazy version of my mom possible, you know?
Good luck. Mal's mom is Japanese. She is very Asian.
Yeah, she's crazy. All moms are crazy. Every single one of us describe our moms as being crazy. There's like 5% of you out there that are like, my mom's my best friend and you're weird. I want to let you know that because your mom is crazy in the best way possible. So I'm just trying to get all of the good nuggets out of her and try to avoid the crazy ones.
I just feel like, especially moms are crazy. Let's all accept that in the most loving way. But when you add another layer of being an Asian mom on top of that, like I could speak from experience with my Vietnamese mother. She's crazy, but I can see parts of me becoming her, which I'm like, no, you know, like I do it without even realizing it.
You can't help it.
You can't.
You can't help it because they have such a big impact on your life.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, we're all sort of learning from scratch how to raise these kids, but we're also just going off knowledge of like what our parents did. And in the Asian culture, the mom has a lot to do with what's going on. And so you're going to be just, you know, like regurgitating a lot of the stuff that she did. And so you have to just govern yourself on if you're being crazy or not.
Is that hard for your dynamic with Carlene? Because it's hard on me and Steven.
Yeah. I mean, it's definitely different. There's definitely Carlene's white, just for some background for the listeners. And I mean, she's definitely had a different upbringing than me culturally and just literally. I think just finding compromise in because Asian culture is kind of rigid. Like we do things a certain way and it's been done a certain way for tens of hundreds of thousands of years. This is how we do it.
Right. Because there's things that Steven and I struggle with that drives me crazy is when we have the same fight about this is because I want something done. Like when I ask him to do something for the house or for the baby, he is so lax with it. Like, yeah, I'll get to it. I'll just do it. I'm like, just do it. Like, it takes like a minute to do. Go take out the trash. Can you grab the box of wipes? Like, it's, you know, and he doesn't understand why it needs to be done immediately, you know? But for me growing up, it's like, okay, your mom said, go do this. You go do it now.
Yeah.
You know, and that's something that I know I need to relax with, but also if he could just meet me halfway on it, we'd be solid.
Yeah, meet me halfway, bro. That's like a cultural thing too with him, because he's like, not only was he not raised Asian, but he's also like the youngest in his family. And so if you're the baby of your family, you've just had a different life than everybody else in your family. Yeah. It's a lot easier. There's like a lot less that is expected of you. And so that's sort of, I think you're fighting a little bit of that.
I know. And, you know, and I'm sure if you hear from him, he'll tell you why I'm so crazy. I'm a crazy Asian mom already.
Yeah, yeah. He's definitely called me the same thing.
Yeah, a crazy Asian mom for sure. Yeah. Oh, man. You know, if there's one thing that you want Kalino to remember about you as a dad, what would it be?
I don't know what one thing, like, I can't put a finger on one thing, but I know for a fact that I just want him to be proud of me and just know that I did my best, you know, and
Remember you as a crazy Asian mom.
Yeah, not, I mean, I'm sure he will remember crazy things that I do, but I think as we get older, we sort of appreciate why our parents did whatever they did. And so I hope that he's just proud and just understands the sacrifice that both Carlene and I make so he could have a life that's better than ours. And just, I just hope
he's
proud. I
think that's what every parent wants, right?
What do you want, Bob?
A better life.
What do you want, Bob?
You know, the same. I want him to just remember how much he's loved. And why do I feel like we're talking like it's our funeral, by the way?
You said, because the way you phrase the question, what do you want him to remember about you? I'm like, how long have I been dead, dude?
I know. You know, like, what's your legacy, right? Yeah. I want him to be a good person. Yeah. I want him to love people. Yeah. You know, I think that's the ultimate goal is if we make a good person.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, yeah.
So
that's what we're all striving for, and some of us are taking it more serious than others.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Unfortunately.
And since, I mean, you're half Japanese, you're raised a lot with Japanese traditions.
Shame. Yeah.
Shame. Yeah. Stop Shame. It. I was going to say, are you going to teach Kalino that?
Yes. Yes. I mean, I've already said I love you more to Kalino in 7 months than I've been told by my mom in 35 years.
Yeah.
So I don't want him to be soft. As soon as he understands words, I will tell him that I love him, but I will tell him when he's not the best. I think we have a responsibility to tell them when they're not good.
Of course.
But we don't. Oh, my God. You pooped.
Oh,
I can smell it.
Parent life.
I can smell it. That's a thing that you get. And the parents listening know. It's like your nose becomes very keen to the breeze. You're like... Ah, is that a little bit of poop I smell? Baby poop is a very specific...
Very distinct. Very, very distinct smell.
But yeah, I want to make sure that I tell him when he's the best, when he's awesome, but also tell him when he can improve. And I think that that's what we're lacking in parenting. It's like you see a lot of kids that were just told how awesome they are and how much they're loved. And it's like, okay, cool. But also...
If you guys can't tell, Mal is the type of parent who is against participation trophies.
Yes, heck
right?
No.
It ain't happening. You got to earn it.
I will crush those in his face.
Stop.
But I'll tell him I love him, and that's why I'm doing
You'll love him as you're crushing it.
This is how much I love you.
You didn't deserve this. Yeah. Crunch, crunch, throw it away. Oh, well, Mal, thank you so much for being on the podcast with
this
me this
awesome.
Week.
This was
awesome. If you guys haven't heard Mal's comedy yet, I mean, I may sound biased because he's my best friend, but in a very subjective way, Mal's comedy is fantastic. You got to look him up on YouTube. You can see his jokes there. You can see his daily vlog, which he works really hard on and is amazing at. And also tell everybody where they can catch you because they can see you in San Diego this weekend and in 2 weekends, right?
Yeah, this weekend and next weekend I'm headlining the La Jolla Comedy Store this Sunday, so that's January 19th, and then I'll be at the Grand Comedy Club in Escondido on the 24th and 25th with Lachlan Patterson from Last Comic Standing, hilarious comedian. And then I just do shows all around town. Follow me on Instagram at Mal Hall, M-A-L-H-A-L-L, YouTube, Mal Hall TV on YouTube to check out the vlogs there. And yeah, like if you're one of the lady wives that listens to the podcast and you stay at home and you want to...
Sister wives.
I'm sorry. You're one of the sister wives and you're a stay-at-home sister wife and you're trying to like join me and the other moms on the walk at Mission Bay Park, hit me up on Instagram.
Just
bring your yoga pants and your lattes.
And Mal does, that's Kalina right there. He's saying goodbye. But Mal does do a comedy show. He produces one in downtown at Tipsy Crow. It's a gas lamp comedy show the last Friday of every month. So if you would like tickets to that, hit me up. I'll get you guys tickets, all right?
Wait, is they're going to pay, right?
Yeah.
I got a boy to feed.
Can't you hear me? He's crying for food right now. Thank you guys again for listening. As always, you can follow me at Dorothy on Air. Follow the Real Housewives of Radio at Real Wives in Radio. By the way, Tanya does say hi. She says she's doing well, her and the baby, and that she's looking forward to checking in with you guys really soon. She's excited to tell her birth story, and hopefully we'll get to talk to her within the next few weeks.
Yeah.
So
we hope to have her back soon.
Yeah, come, Mal's off. I'm just kidding. Just kidding.
Get this man, lady, wife out of here.
We'll talk to you guys next week.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.